Hi, this is Frank. This is my show, CDM Cyclist. CDM, of course, stands for Corona Del Mar. It's a neighborhood in Newport Beach, California. Well, my guest today, Boston's Nicole Friedman. She runs Boston Bikes for Mayor Menino, City of Boston. Boston, I've got some friends in Boston, and they introduced me to Nicole. Long-term listeners will remember, perhaps. You have to be a real long-term listener. Nicole Friedman was my very first interview on CDM Cyclist. And I'm delighted to have her back on the show. 50 interviews later, here she is again. And of course, in that period of time, this very talented, intelligent, and competent woman has accomplished so much. Wow. To listen to her and everything she has done is humbling, my experience of it. In Southern California, many of my bicycle advocate friends, some of us, some cities perhaps ahead of others in our bicycle master plans, our build out of infrastructure, but we are all at the beginning compared to what the city of Boston has accomplished over the past 6 years. You're going to enjoy getting to know Nicole Friedman.
Nicole Friedman, the director of bike programs for the city of Boston.
Yes. And how long have you been at this now, Nicole?
I started in 2007.
So one of the first questions on my mind, Nicole, is Mayor Menino. You work for him. He's terming out or he's stepping down. This is going to be the end of a long run as mayor of city of Boston, right?
Yes. See, Mayor Menino has been mayor for around 20 years, just about 20 years, and he has said that he will not run in the upcoming election, which takes place in November.
So there's no term limits in Boston.
Correct.
Yeah, right. What's that mean for the director of bicycle programs?
Well, the bike programs has been incredibly successful mm-hmm. under the mayor's leadership.
And sure.
He started the program in 2007. And the public has really welcomed cycling to the city, and we anticipate that the enthusiasm will continue with the new mayor.
Mm-hmm. So the bike share program, Alta is the vendor behind your bike share program?
Yep. So the city of Boston owns the equipment. It is a city of Boston system. And we hire Alta Bike Share to run the operations, which means moving the bikes, fixing the stations. And then our system is actually regional, meaning neighboring towns, Cambridge, Brookline, Somerville, also contract with Alta to run the operations. And it's a seamless system for the user.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's been going for a couple of years now?
We launched it in July 2011, so we are just about coming up on our second anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I grew up just outside of Boston. I've been on the bikes. They're sponsored by New Balance?
Correct. New Balance is the lead sponsor of the Boston Hubway system, so mm-hmm. New Balance Hubway.
Mm-hmm. Here in Orange County and Los Angeles, too, they're looking at bike share.
Yeah. The mayor asked us to look at bike share in 2008, and that was before any systems had launched in the United States, before anything had launched even in North America. And it was really based on the Paris experience. And when we saw Paris, we saw that bike share really transformed the city, and it was able to mainstream cycling. So it wasn't cyclists that were using the bike share system, but it was everyday people, men, women, going to work, tourists, whatever it was. These are not people that would define themselves as cyclists. And mm-hmm. we looked at that and we said, if Paris can do this, Boston is ready. And we started looking at that point, you know, with no systems in North America up and running at the time, it was just a handful of cities trying to figure out how to create the wheel. It wasn't even recreating the wheel. It was creating one from scratch.
Right, right. How about the city of Boston? Any unique characteristics of Boston that made bike share successful?
You know, one of the things we did was make sure we had a high density of stations.
Right.
So we didn't try to stretch them out too far, and the system really runs on density. Stations every 200, 300 yards. So you walk downstairs outside of your building, And if you see a station there, you're much more likely to use that system.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we did was we wanted the system to be for, you know, for all Boston residents and visitors, regardless of income. So we have a subsidized membership program, and about 7% of Boston members are on a subsidized membership. And instead of paying the $85 annual fee, they can pay $5 if they qualify. And that's an unlimited number of trips for $5 for the entire year.
Wow.
And then the third thing we did was we've been really encouraging helmet use. So we partnered with CVS's, Walgreens, and all of our sponsors to sell helmets very inexpensively at their store. So they're selling them for $7.99. And then anyone that signs up online can get a helmet shipped to their door for $18.
Wow.
And we're getting very close to launching a helmet vending machine. And hopefully those will come out in August.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. The price point that you can deliver a bicycle helmet, that's... What's your personal helmet cost, Nicole?
I actually just bought a helmet the other day because mine had broken. It was about $100.
Yeah, right.
And that was not top of the line in any way.
Right, right. So one thing Boston has going for it too, though, is you've got all kinds of subways, light rail. People come into the city to go to work. That's a great, that correlates to the success of bike share too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, the two of the top five most popular stations are based at the transit hub. So we have North Station, South Station, and that's where Amtrak and the subway and the buses all come into Boston. And, you know, for us, there was a major component of this was we think of Hubway as green public transit. And so to be able to connect with the buses, the trains, the subways makes it that much more powerful.
Wow. You make it sound easy, too, with that big piece of the pie already in place, the rail systems. Here in Orange County, we don't have anything like that. So Orange County is just, well, often known for its sprawl. We're going to have a lot harder time. We don't have density, I guess, would be our biggest challenge.
I have been there many times. I fully understand your city.
Yeah. Now, Boston's been rated a bicycle-friendly community by the League of American Bicyclists. What's the current rating that you're at right now?
So we are a silver level rating, and it was interesting. When the mayor started the program end of 2007, I had set a goal to be a silver level bike-friendly city within 3 years, and I told Andy Clark, the executive director of the league, that goal, and he kind of said, as in, that would be very, very hard. And 3 years later, we did apply, and we did receive silver. And what was the reason Andy was so skeptical is when we started the bike programs, Boston had been 3 times rated the worst cycling city in the country by Bicycling Magazine.
Oh, wow.
You know, we didn't have a single mile of bike lane. We had 200 yards of bike lane. So I always brag that we are the first city ever to go from worst to silver on our first try. And I know that because we held worst for so many years.
Wow. That's something, Nicole. I keep wondering now, how are you going to top that? You're an ambitious woman. How are you going to ever top
we
that?
We do hope in our next iteration or application to the league that we can move up to gold level.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets tougher. We were very good at picking off as many low-hanging fruit as possible, and that got us very far. Now we're starting to see higher-hanging fruit. So
right.
To put in a bike lane, something might have to go. You might need to remove parking or remove a travel lane. It's not as easy as finding roads that have excess capacity.
Right. And those bring political challenges, too, when you're talking about removing parking. It's really no different in Boston or Newport Beach, I imagine, Nicole. Motorists love
that. We joke that parking is a constitutional right for some people.
Yeah, right. I wanted to speak with you today for a number of reasons. In part, Newport Beach, my hometown here, they've just commenced a bicycle master plan. We just had our first meeting a week ago.
Great.
And we're working with the Alta team and a couple of other consulting firms, too. We have a fantastic team. And my mind continues to, like, race to one end of the spectrum, I always think, is parking. If we could mm-hmm. eliminate parking on some of our thoroughfares or our high-speed arterials, we'd have fantastic space to put in, like, separated bike lanes. But there's
or
the political...
Or if you removed all the parking in the city, you wouldn't even need a bike lane because no one would be driving.
Yeah. And I hadn't gone that far with it. It's just that simple, huh?
It's just that simple, yes.
It would entice everybody out on bikes, huh?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. So have you had any success so far? You probably had to deal with parking issues to some extent already.
You know, a real turning point in our system was 2 years ago, Massachusetts Avenue. That's a road that runs right through the heart of the city. And it has 50,000 vehicle trips per day. That is about the highest you'll have for any non-highway street in a city.
Mm-hmm.
And it also had the highest crash rate in the city for cyclists. Busy commercial area. We looked at this and we talked with the mayor and we said, look, we need to do something about these crashes. There have been fatalities. There will be fatalities, again, if we don't do something. But the only way to add in a bike lane was to remove parking along one side of the street. We worked with the neighbors. We worked with the businesses. We literally walked door to door. And in the end, we removed 70 parking spots in a major commercial district. And we now have a bike lane on both sides of the street. Tremendous accomplishment. And, you know, it's not easy to remove that many parking spaces, but I think it really shows Boston's commitment to transforming itself into a world-class cycling city.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to think that Boston, with a strong mayor, he's got a little extra clout to be able to pull that off. Or just what was the political process? Like, you have to go to, like, the equivalent of a city council?
You know, one thing that I think has really defined this mayor is doing the best public process possible,
mm-hmm.
very complete public process, bringing in the public early. And what you find is if we reach out to the public early and genuinely seek input, we can have reasonable conversations that lead to really good solutions. And I think that's what happened in this case.
Right. Now, how about... I hear it from a lot of bicycle advocates that if we remove the parking, that'll bring more cyclists and that'll be good for local business. Was that part of the sales pitch?
That was not, no.
No.
The truth on a street like Massachusetts Avenue, though, is you have far more pedestrians than you have cars parking in the spot going into the businesses. And if you want to be a successful business on Mass Ave, if you are dependent on those car parking spots, you'll never do enough business. You know, you need very high turnover and a lot of business. And we're a walking and biking city. I think less than half the trips made in Boston are by vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And Massachusetts Avenue runs near some of your universities, too, I'm thinking, right? It's a major thoroughfare.
It's interesting. It cuts across the grain of the city. A lot of the roads are going to be going into or out of the city, and this one's more cutting across.
Mm-hmm. So back to the bicycle-friendly community silver status that you have there. That's going to be part of our process, too, here in Newport Beach. We're going to apply probably on the order of a year from now. We'll have accomplished much more, and we'll be applying. One of the things that, you know, there's the five E's, enforcement, engineering, evaluation, and encouragement. What has the city of Boston done in terms of encouragement, Nicole?
Yeah, we've done a lot. Number one is the Mayor's Hub on Wheels bike ride. It's mm-hmm. once a year in September, 10, 30, and 50 miles. We close one of the major highways, and cyclists can, you know, bike along the Charles River on a car-free highway and then tour the whole city. So that gets 5,000 riders a year.
That's like a Ciclovia
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we actually do have a more traditional ciclovia as well that's in its second year. We have an event series that starts with Bike Week, and then we have a monthly event, Bike Fridays. And then, of course, those culminate with Hub on Wheels. We brought the first professional bike race to Boston in nearly 20 years. It's the TD Bank Mayor's Cup, and it's a downtown criterium, a little bit like you have in Manhattan Beach there. With professionals whizzing around downtown streets. And then we work a lot in the schools. So we work with, we provide on-the-bike training for 4,000 youth a year. And then we have a program that collects, refurbishes, and distributes bikes. And we distribute about 750 bikes to low-income residents a year as well.
Wow, you're doing a lot. That's a lot. You just rattled off a long list of things to do there. Oh, wow. So you've got resources. You've got some staff, and you've got a budget, and probably never enough, but...
We have a lot of grants, and we do have city funding for some of our programs, and we work a lot with sponsors as well. And when you combine it all together, we have a very stable program.
Mm-hmm.
We're also very, very efficient when we run our programs. We say, okay, how do we go to scale? How do we maintain impact? And how do we keep the cost per person reasonable so that we can increase in scale? Mm-hmm. But it's always balancing scale and impact.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've got an idea that many of the things you're doing are going to be recurring events. That's all part of the thought process too. Huh?
Many are. And then, you know, as we grow, we add more events as well.
Mm-hmm. So that long list of things you're doing for encouragement, if you were in my shoes, where would you start? What would be like the first thing you might do? Ciclovia or?
Bike Week tends to be the easiest first thing because there's so many national models out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already a lot of free media and free attention to it, so you can build on what's there.
So you're talking about the league's National Bike Week that is in the middle of May every year, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And then there are ciclovias. I know LA itself has a very, very popular ciclovia. You know, it could be anything. We do our monthly commute rides and a free breakfast modeled after Bike Week throughout the summer, and that mm-hmm. works very well as well.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you get the word out on some of these events, like your Friday bike rides? I'm on Facebook.
Email list, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit. We have something here, Universal Hub. We work with our press office quite a bit. And then, you know, we reach out to every bike advocate group and bike shop and see if they'll help promote as well.
And word gets around, huh?
And word gets around.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to Mayor Menino and his term ending. Does that mean many department heads will also be terming out too, like the director of bicycle programs?
Well, I hope that I'm able to continue the program, but whatever the new mayor wants, I am sure will be great for the city. I have no idea. I think I was probably in middle school or high school when Mayor Menino started, so no idea at all what happened.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, you've done a great job in Boston. I've ridden your bike share program, and you're a model for any to be able to go from worst to silver. That is a terrific accomplishment. You introduced me to John Ciccarelli a couple of years ago.
Did, yes.
And he and I spent a day together. He was, well, would you tell the story? How did you and John meet up once upon a time?
I think I begged my way to work for John, actually. John was the bike coordinator, bike director for Stanford University in the mid-1990s when they just started a bike program. And I had recently graduated Stanford and was dying to work in the program, but I had to wait until he was hired. And it was interesting. I was a professional cyclist at the time. So I worked, you know, part-time, different times of the year, and he was very wonderful to let me have a seasonal and flexible schedule.
That was early on in this whole movement too, right?
Stanford was on the cutting edge. It was, you know, mid-90s. You know, Portland was doing their thing. California was doing their thing. but in other cities in the United States, it really was not not on the radar screen.
So I had a great time with John that, you know, one little thing I remember, you can picture a lot of people have mirrors that are actually on their sunglasses.
Yeah.
When I showed up that day, we both brought our Bromptons to bicycle around San Francisco, and John had his little his mirror on his sunglasses. And I had tried that and recently abandoned it. And John encouraged me to keep at it, that it would take like 2 days or 3 days or 4 days to get used to it. And anyway, every time I put them on, that gets a lot of attention.
It does, yes.
John was over the house. He texted me just 2 weeks ago. He was in Orange County, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't see his email or his text for a few hours, so I invited him over the house. We sat around outside on the deck till like 11 o'clock at night, solving all the world's bicycle problems. And I had a question for John that I wanted to ask that I had forgotten. It wasn't until after my interview that I realized that you know, you and he had spent that time together at that, like, pivotal point in time at Stanford, and I wanted to ask him to see you go on to the city of Boston and accomplish everything that you had. The question that I wished I had asked him that day and didn't have a chance until 2 weeks ago was, you must be very proud of Nicole Friedman. And of course, he said he was, but then he's quick, you know, John's sense of humor. We didn't work together all that long. Is that true, Nicole?
I was there, I'm trying to remember, 96 to 1999.
Oh, so that's a good
and
long
I was
time.
In and out because I was racing.
Yeah, racing. Well, so. That was what a place to be, what a point in time, what a team working together, Nicole. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning and telling stories about the city of Boston and your great work there.
Well, you are welcome. Thank you for having me again.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You got it. Be good. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we're back in the studio, and before we say goodbye, I'd like to invite you to come by the website, cdmcyclist.com. You could leave a comment behind and listen to some of my other recent guests on the show as well. Well, until next time, thanks so much for listening, and good night.